Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Leanne, for having us, and we're getting started off on a brand new year.
Absolutely, but you guys have been really busy. You've had two meetings already. This is our anniversary. This is 11, we had 12 months, but 11 shows for the past year, and having you on the show has been an absolute joy. We are able to share a lot of information with our listeners.
And we appreciate the partnership.
Now, you guys have had a couple different meetings since the beginning of the year. First of all, a specially called meeting where there were a whole lot of suits in the room coming to talk about the potentially being architects for the new EMS building.
Yes, we did. We had a special call meeting and we asked, we had seven applicants for architectural and engineering firms to help us design the ambulance building. And they came in, we did a committee that narrowed that down to three, and the three top contenders came in and presented to fiscal court, answered any questions that we had, and told us a little bit about their qualifications. So we did that on a special call meeting, mm-hmm. and then we had time to think about it and review it. And then we made that selection yesterday in the regular session meeting yesterday.
Now, not knowing yet exactly where we're going to put that building, and there are some different things that have to come into play, but what are the things that you guys are looking for from an architecture firm, and what made you make the choice that you did?
Well, what you look for in an architectural firm, or what we look for, is we want someone that we felt like that we could definitely work with, that could share the vision that we had and be able to do it as low cost as possible to the taxpayers. Of course, that's always at the forefront of our decision making, but also provide a quality product. And the firm we chose was MSE, and please don't ask me what those initials stand for, but MSE was chosen. We all have known MSE to be in this area for a number of years. They've did a lot of projects in Morehead. They've done a lot of projects out at an industrial park, and we felt comfortable with them. So we chose those individuals.
And what are some of the things that are important to you guys with an EMS building, or are we even there yet? Because these people obviously have built these types of buildings before.
Our big thing with the EMS building is that they've changed the codes on us, the state building codes. We have to meet a certain criteria now for risk, and it's risk category 4, and that has a lot to do with the tornado they had up in Morgan County. So we've got to be concerned about the safety of the individuals in the building, as well as we have to provide some sleeping facilities for these folks because they do 24-hour shifts. And when they're not in the ambulance making runs, they need to be able to get some rest so that they'll be at their best when you're at your worst.
Right. So a lot to think about. So what's the next part of the process now that we have a firm?
Well, we want them to design us a building so that we'll know what the footprint is. Or if we choose, if something pops up that we can find an existing building, we'll ask them to draw us a picture, show us architecturally what that building would look like, the design of that building would look like, and how it would work out for us. So the next step is to actually sign a contract with these individuals. I'll have a meeting with them the very first part of next week, and we'll start going from there. So we're all excited. I mean, we've needed an ambulance service. We moved into that when I first became a magistrate temporarily in 2011, and we've been there temporarily for that amount of time now. So it's time that we step up and take care of the emergency folks that's taking care of us. And they need a better facility. They're overcrowded, the office space. I mean, there's no place to be. You just kind of stand around and look at each other. So we're looking forward to it, and I'm sure they are looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the meeting that happened this week. You guys did choose that firm during that meeting, but also there was a lot of other things discussed. First of all, the resolution relating to the Second Amendment. Rowan County has become a sanctuary county at this point for gun rights.
We have, and we just kind of followed suit. The good thing about having a fiscal court meeting at the end of the month, you can see the other fiscal courts, what they do, the mistakes they make. And honestly, there was a couple counties that made some real serious mistakes. They passed some ordinances that they had to go back and undo, if you will, because we couldn't. It is against the law for the fiscal court to pass any law that is against state law or federal law. And when you pass an ordinance, that is a law. So there was some confusion. Some of those folks jumped out and done some things, and so they had to go back and retract those and clean those up. So, you know, we were third weekend, so we had a lot of other things that we looked at the other counties did. So we did a resolution which is, you know, it has no law to it, but it just shows the unity of the county that we are, you know, in support of the Second Amendment rights. And we had a gentleman came into court, and he presented the his side of the story from Second Amendment. But there was no it was very professionally done. He did a really good job. He kept it non-political. And, you know, that's how we govern the court. We don't look at politics. We govern a court strictly by the citizens. And that's where he kept it. And so we was very appreciative of that. So we passed it. And the little confusion is, you know, on whether we can make a law or not make a law and about the Constitution. And, you know, all of the members of the court are sworn to uphold the Constitution. And, you know, we take that very serious. I probably have sworn and taken that oath as many times as anybody in the county. I spent 22 years in the military, so I take oaths very serious. And for some of the folks on social media that says, you know, ignore the Constitution, you don't have to follow that oath, that's, you know, that's really fine to say on social media, but in reality, I certainly hope that if they were ever in this position, that they would actually take the oath of office more serious than they show they do on social media. And I brought the oath, just a portion of it, just for clarification, and I'm going to read just a very short portion of it. It says, I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as I continue a citizen thereof, and that I will faithfully execute to the best of my ability the office of judge executive according to law. So I've sworn to uphold that Constitution. So if they change that Constitution and I disagree with their change, then my options are pretty simple. Either go against it and go to jail, as I should, or I'll resign my position. But that's the answers to it. So I just want to get that out, kind of clear that up a little bit. There's, you know, everybody talks about, well, they could do this and they can do that. You know, I swore it. I took the oath seriously, and I stand by that oath.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the finance director report. I know that they completed an audit recently, so some things are going to be changing with those duties at this point.
Well, he's did the audit, and he did a fantastic job, and that's, you know, that's a real nit-noy job, if you will, because you really got to take time to do that. But he did a great job. So now that he's got the audit done, and we identified the companies that are licensed in the county and perhaps ones that are not licensed in the county. Now he can spend some time out sorting through and looking out in the county to make sure that everybody has participates in the occupational license program. Because it's only fair for a person that's doing his duties. He claims his company, pays his taxes on it, does all those things, and he bids his jobs according to what he has to pay. And then you have someone that is not licensed, doesn't pay anything in, they can underbid that individual that's legitimate. So we just want to make a level playing field for all contractors and all businesses.
Right. So if there were two different people getting ready to build this EMS building, the ones who are following the county would have a little bit of a higher overhead.
Absolutely. They would have a higher overhead because they have to meet all those requirements that are in that ordinance. And this ordinance is nothing new. We didn't create this ordinance. This ordinance has been around for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. We've just now really picked it up and dusted it off. It's like everything else, and we just want everybody to participate. And a lot of the contractors that you talk to that are very legitimate are very appreciative of this because this puts the playing field very level. They've been honest and doing what they're supposed to do, and people that don't get to underbid them, and they get more jobs because of that. So I think they're excited about it.
Now, as a county, is that something that you guys are going to take into consideration when you're taking bids, or do – like, for example, the architectural firm, will they appoint a project manager, and then the project manager is the one who gets to decide who gets to build the building?
What we'll do is, my rule since I've taken office, is you must have a occupational license in the county, and if it's in the city to do work in the city. And you also have to provide liability insurance. And I think that's just prudent that we do that to protect taxpayers' money. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be a part of my interview, final interview with the architectural firms. And I know they have the license because they are already working in the county, and I know for sure they do have those. And then if we get a contractor, those folks will have to have the same thing, the occupational license, just like anybody else. It'll be a part of the bid. In order to bid, you have to have that and prove it.
And speaking of following those rules, that comes to our next portion of the agenda from the meeting. You guys talked a lot about the code of ethics for the county. There, you guys did the first reading of an ordinance that repealed and replaced the code of ethics, and also appointed the ethics commission for members of the fiscal court. And basically, this is something that has existed. We talked about this last time. This ethics commission has existed, just with no members for a while.
True. The ethics, the ordinance for the ethics has been there since, I believe, the last time it was looked at was in 2005. But the ethics commission was not staffed, if you will. There was some names missing from it. So all we did was we updated the ethics ordinance, which would reflect social media and all those things. It's that's changed since 2005. And then also we installed the commission yesterday that would oversee the ethics. If someone had a complaint against one of the elected officials, they would have a avenue to go to, and the ethics commission would deal with it.
Right. And that's a good little safety net to have for everybody who's in office.
It is. And, you know, it's really a welcome, because, you know, people can make accusations and all these things, but we have the people in place now that could actually take this. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if that's what they determine, that's just the way it is. But it should make everybody feel a little bit better that we have to uphold a standard. And certainly elected officials should hold everything to a higher standard than anyone else.
Now, who are the members of the Ethics Commission?
Keith Capus, who was originally on this, I asked him to be on it and chair the commission. Dwight Clark, no relation to me, will be on it from Magistrate Ray White. Each magistrate picks someone that they think would be fair. Daryl Glover took Paul Banks. Rob Hamm took Anthony Anderson. And Charlie Winkleman took Charles Moore. So that's the commission of five, and we hope we don't ever use them. And if we do, they assemble together and they decide, you know, what we did was either ethical or unethical, and then that's where we go from there.
There's a whole lot of talk in our community and across the nation about accountability right now. So it's definitely a good time to have that kind of commission in place.
It is, you know, and it is. And like I said, really the citizens should feel good about this, because it's you know, they too will take an oath of office. When they assemble, they will take an oath of office. And I'm sure you that those individuals will take it very serious.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural and educational outreach service of Morehead State University, displaying a permanent collection of Kentucky self-taught art. The museum store offers handmade gifts, including pottery, jewelry, woodcrafts, animal sculptures, paintings, and brooms. Space is available for meetings and workshops. The Kentucky Folk Arts Center is easily accessible on First Street in Morehead and open to the public Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. For more information, call 783-2204.
And we're back here on Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks again for being here. We're talking a little bit about the agenda for the regular fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this week. There was a little bit of confusion by some people who attended the meeting. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about some things that happened on the agenda. You guys talked about a subdivision coordinator, and also legal support for permitting industrial and commercial development in Rowan County. Those things are a little controversial to talk about, because we're talking about rules and regulations that could be put in place.
Yeah, we'll take the first one, the subdivision coordinator. You know, we used to have a subdivision coordinator. It was full-time. Then we determined we didn't need that full-time. But we're back to the point now where we definitely need some. We have a contracted subdivision coordinator now, and it's just getting overwhelming for one individual as a contractor to do these things. So we're going to hire a part-time individual, and we selected Joe Curd, who has a very, very good resume for subdivision, to fit in with subdivision coordinator. And it's just like anything else. The subdivision regulations need to be a breathing document, a living document, and it hasn't been in some time. So we need to take it out, clean it off, dust it off, and probably some stuff in it doesn't need to be in there. Mm-hmm. And then there's probably some stuff that needs to be tweaked, make it a little more clear for some of our developers, because I get calls all the time. Can we do this? Can we do that? You know, you should be able to pick the document up and understand what you can and you can't do.
Right. Well, I had a family member who purchased a home in a subdivision in the county several years ago, and they were told when they purchased it that the road was going to be a county road. But then it was never taken in because the road wasn't built to meet the county specifications. So this person will be making sure that those specifications are clearly understood and adhered to.
Yes. Between the subdivision coordinator and the road foreman, they will, if you develop a subdivision, they will make sure that the roads and everything in it, it's not just roads, it's drainage, it's how it connects to a county road, all of the other things that you know, you never really think about, but it'll be their responsibility to make sure that all those pieces fit together. And we provide the citizen that purchases this home or moves into this home with what they should expect is, a quality product, at least from the county standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And then also you guys talked about this specialized legal support. What exactly does that entail?
Well, you know, I think what we've all determined, and I think if you'll talk to anybody around that's a business, we realize that there, you know, if you have enough money, you can buy a piece of property anywhere you like in this county, and you can put any business that you desire on that property, and there's nothing that would even slow you down from it. So what we think we need to do is figure out a way. We don't want to zone the county, worry about farmers and all those kind of things. What we want to do is make sure that the business we're inviting in today doesn't interfere with some business that we may want to do 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And, the example I use is, right now, if you, Leanne, had enough money, you could go to 801, anywhere out there that's property for sale. And had enough money, you could probably convince somebody to sell their property. And you could literally open up, as an example I use, is a slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. So if you open up a slaughterhouse, you've probably shut down any other development in that area completely.
Because it stinks.
Just because of what it is.
Right.
So, any grand plans of a big restaurant or big nice hotels or parks or anything would probably not happen. But now you can actually do that. So what we have decided is we want to ask some, and we ask for outside help. It's kind of like going to your general physician, and they say, you got a head cold or something like that, and they give you the medication. Well, Cecil Watkins is our county attorney, and he does a fine job for a county attorney. But this is kind of like a heart surgery, if you will. We wouldn't want, your general practice guy working on your heart. So mm-hmm. Pike Legal is a very reputable group of individuals, and we have asked them to come in and give us some advice and guidance on how to implement a plan that will incorporate our desires, which is to control what comes into the county, and maybe not what, but where it comes into the county. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I don't know, it kind of grew from there, and people talk about planning and zoning commissions being created. There's already a planning and zoning commission already in place, and it, we're not even sure where this is going to go, but that's why we hired legal folks to come in and talk to us.
Mm-hmm. And that's always a good thing to have somebody clarify, especially when there's a little bit of like, what are we exactly allowed to do, and what is it? You may not even know exactly what you want to do. Knowing that you need to do something doesn't mean you have a plan in place.
Correct, and we may not be able to do anything right now. So, and that's what they're here for, and they're the experts in this field. So we're going to ask them to come in, and we'll have them in fiscal court, and they'll tell us what we can or we can't do, and we'll go from there.
Now, the next item on the agenda has to do with the deputy judge executive appointment. You had appointed Jason Sloan when he was working with you, but then he moved over to Chamber, so now we needed we had to appoint someone else because KRS requires there to be someone who can take over in the event that you can't be there.
Well, I think if people remember back when I campaigned, I said we wouldn't have a deputy judge executive because I didn't need one.
Right.
And I proved that over the year. Jason was by name a deputy judge executive, but he was actually, of course, everybody knows he was much more than that. He was a huge part of my transition into being a judge executive. But we never really, the KRS is pretty clear. You don't have to appoint a deputy judge executive. You know, there's some misunderstandings of that. But you do have to have a line of succession, which means if I become disabled, unconscious, heaven forbid, then someone has to be in line to run the county until such time as the judge executive becomes back operational. So the KRS allows for that. And so what we did in the court is we put a court order on that in my absence, then the senior magistrate will assume that position. Currently, that would be Ray White if he's in town. But we said senior magistrate for a reason, because if the first magistrate's out of town, the senior, then it would continue down the chain. So we did it intentionally. We did a lot of thought into this. And so we're legal with the KRSs. We're fine with the way this happens. And we're still not paying a deputy judge executive to be in the office.
Which is part of what you campaigned on, because
absolutely,
you felt that having a salary for an additional person was unnecessary.
Yes, and I think it's shown, proven over the years that it's worked out very well.
Yeah. Now, we've got just a few minutes left, but I wanted to touch base on the Joint Tourism Commission. The city had the Tourism Commission before. We finally got through all the bells and whistles and hoops and are able to have the Joint County City Joint Tourism Commission, and where are we on that?
Well, actually, I just read the oath, part of the oath to you. I actually had the opportunity to swear those individuals into that tourism board last week, and so we're off and running. We have a tourism commission now. It's a variety of folks from hotels, restaurants, and the things just exactly like the KRS says that we should have, and so we're looking forward to an exciting year in tourism, and so that's finally, I think, complete. I can actually sit and tell you, Leanne, that's actually complete. So, again, we're really excited about what it'll do and how it'll bring Round County and Morehead to get, just a little farther into the tourism business. So we're excited. We're ready.
Absolutely. And then also, I know that you are concerned about having enough people to start taking the census soon. There will be people knocking on doors very soon.
We do. You know, the census actually starts in April. You can start doing it online in April. Their plan at the federal level is that most people are going to do this online. Of course, you know, sometimes they're disconnected from reality. But they have people that we are actively trying to, as a county, to recruit folks for the census simply because it affects everything we do. Every income, every bit of federal money we get, it affects the legislative districts, the magistrate districts. It affects the SEEK money in the schools. Everything is tied to a population count, and it's very, very critical that we get a good one. And right now, as of a couple weeks ago, we were 100 people short in Round County to do the census. So that'll be the ones that goes out and knocks on doors and does those kind of things. So if you're listening out there and you want a good job, it's $14 an hour. You set your hours. It's 58 cents a mile. You have to be 18 years of age, a driver's license, and a reliable transportation.
Yeah. So hopefully people will go and sign up and do that.
We hope so.
All right, wonderful. Well, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Judge Executive Harry Clark, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Leanne. I look forward to another productive year.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Looks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.